As we begin our series of Shiurim Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Hilchus Muksa, so when we think about Hilchus Muksa, as we learned in our Gemara, we think about a Keli Shemalach Delisser, we think about Muksa Machmach Saron Kis, we think about Muksa Machmach Gufay, as the Mishnah Berura summarizes in his Hagdom, in his introduction to Hilchus Muksa in Simen Shin Ches. But what we don't think when we think about Hilchus Muksa is about a keli shemalach de laheter, a keli that we could use on Shabbos, something as obvious as plates and dishes and cups and svarim. We don't think of them when we think about Hilchus Muksa. But actually, we who are Be'ezer Hashem learning the sugyas of Hilchus Muksa actually recognize that Hilchus Muksa is a lot more applicable to every type of keli that we come in contact with, and therefore is very much relevant lahalacha as we begin our series and try to understand what is Muksa, why is there a gzeira Muksa, and where do the halacha of muksa apply? Because the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amar Aleph teaches us Kol Hakelim Nitalim LeTzayrich VeShalay LeTzayrich. Reb Nechemya Omer Ein Nitalim Ela LeTzayrich. And the Gemara immediately attempts to understand what does this Mishnah mean. Very ambiguous words. And the Gemara, according to Rava, who we paskin like, says that what the Mishnah is referring to is a keli shemalach de laheter, and what the Mishnah means to say is that the keli can be moved li tzarech gufoy mekaymai, and it can be moved even mechama letzel. And indeed, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Ches Sif Dalid teaches us that the halacha is keli shemalach de laheter mutl tataloi. You may move a keli shemalach de laheter afil ena letzarech a keli shema yishaver yigonet, even if the reason for moving it is because you're concerned it may break or get stolen. Ava shaloi letzarech klal, if there is no purpose in moving the keli, osla tatla, it may not be moved. But then, the Shulchan Aruch continues. Kisvei kodesh v'oichlim, mutla tatla. You're allowed to move kisvei kodesh svarim or food, afilu shloi l'tzarech klal. So, the question is obvious. The Shulchan Aruch is saying that even a keli shemalach de laheter can only be moved under certain circumstances, can't be moved for no reason at all. But the very same Shulchan Aruch says that that doesn't apply by kisvei kodesh and eichlim, one question. And furthermore, as the Mishnah Berurah already begins to grapple, what is included in kisvei kodesh and eichlim? Because the Mishnah Berurah says, "V'hu adin kaisus v'karois v'tzluchios v'sakin shalgab hashulchan, plates, dishes, silverware, the tadirim b'betashmish that are constantly used l'chalalai toris muksa klal aren't in the category of muksa u'ka'oichlin u'kikisvei kodesh tami, they are to be treated like food and like kisvei kodesh." They can be moved without any reason at all. But then the Mishnah Berurah continues, that even by these kelim, you should be machmer. And the Shaar HaTzion immediately says that this is the opinion of the Rambam. And as we'll see in our Shir, it's actually the Rambam's, it's the Magen Mishnah's interpretation and understanding of the Rambam. So, we now have two questions. One question is, where where is the halacha that you could only move something for a purpose versus even though it's a keli shlamlach laheter, you may not move it without a purpose? That's one question. And the other question is, obviously, why is there a difference between different keli shlamlach laheters? It's also interesting to point out that even though the Mishnah Brura seems to be lenient and seems to say that included in Eichlin and Kisvei Kodesh is all sorts of dishes and svarim, if we look at other Paiskim and doesn't seem to be agreeing with the Rambam, if we look at the opinion of other Paiskim, they're much more machmer, the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Sifkat and Yud Zayin, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Simon Pei Ches, Sif Ches, says that no, we can't move any type of kalim. Glasses that are on the table, silverware, should not be moved under any circumstances. And of course the question is, what is the machloikis about? And what is the halacha? So, to really begin to understand how to look at this question, we really need to first begin by understanding the history of Hilchus Muksa, and by understanding the history of Hilchus Muksa, we perhaps will be able to understand how to look to understand the halacha of Hilch, to understand this entire sugya. The Gemara on Daf Kuf Chof Gimel on the base says the history of Muksa. Amar Remchanina, says the Gemara, B'yimei Nechemi ben Chakalya Nishnish Mishnah Zu. In the time of Nechemi ben Chakalya that we learned this Mishnah, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, Re'isi b'yom mehem re'isi b'yehuda dorchem gitas b'shabbos umvim ha'remus. The Gemara teaches us that in the time of Nechemi ben Chakalya there was a particular breakdown in Shmiru Shabbos. And that's why the Gemara earlier on the Daf had taught us Tanur Rabbanan, B'Rishayna Haya Oimrim Shloishi Kalim Nitalim B'Shabbos. Originally they said that only three Kalim may be moved on Shabbos. Mekzaya Shaldvela V'Zahuma Listerin. Mekzaya Shaldvela is the knife that they used to cut the cake of figs. Zuma Listerin is the spoon that they used to take the foam that's on top of the food. V'sakin ketana shalgav v'shulchan. And then they continued with and also the knife that's on the table. And the braisa continued. Hetiru v'chazer hetiru. They continued to be lenient. At sh'omru kol ha'kelim nitalim b'shabbos, until ultimately they said all kelim can be taken on Shabbos, chutz min ha'masa ha'gol v'yesod shemachrisha. Besides the big saw and the shovel, which we'll discuss maybe in future shurim, what the muks is, are they pashtus the muksa machmas chsankis. So, in understanding this Gemara, the Rishonim debate, what does the Gemara mean? And it's really the machlokes that we've just learned. The Rambam and the Ran are of the opinion that everything was included in the Issa Muksa. Then they made it more lenient, but only up to a certain degree. Up to the degree that a keli shemlach de laheter is mutter michamel etzel. Since it's mutter michamel etzel, and as the Gra explains, if keli shemlach de laheter were not included in the category of muksa, then it shouldn't be moved even mechamel tzel. Then why does the Gemara say specifically that it may be moved mechamel tzel? The Gemara should have said that it may be moved. The fact that the Gemara says that it only may be moved mechamel tzel is saying that it is muksa. It's a lenient muksa, and it could be moved even letzayrich the keli, that it shouldn't get ruined, but it's still muksa. But the Ra disagrees. And the Gros in the Ra, Arishin, says that Keli Shemlachte Leheter can be moved entirely. There is no muksa to move a Keli Shemlachte Leheter. He brings a Raya, the Gemara later in the Masechta, on Daf Kuf Membeis Amid Beis teaches us that Rava allowed them to put a knife on top of a bird in order to be able to move the bird. So he says, and the Gemara says, really you could have moved the bird. It was a raw bird, dead bird. You could have moved it because it was edible without eating. Just because people think that it's muksa, and they'll think that you can move something that's muksa, that's why the Gemara says they put on top of it a knife. So we have here a question. The knife was moved shaloi letzairich. How could you move a knife shaloi letzairich? It must be, says the Ra, that since a knife is a keli shemlach de laheter, you can move it without any purpose at all. Not a very compelling raya, the Mefarshim say, because even if we'll take the stringent opinion regarding a keli shemlach de laheter, all that opinion says is that a keli shemlach de laheter can't be moved without any purpose. But as soon as there's a purpose, albeit not even for the keli itself, maybe everybody would agree that it may be moved. What is this machloikis all about? The machloikis is about, as Tosfos teaches us, Tosfos here asks an obvious question. The second Tosfos in the Amid, Miktsayu Shaldvela, Lechashir El Kalim, the Labnei Kibel, the Pshita, the Kosfos of Karas with Sluchas Haymatatlan. Tosfos' question is that he says he doesn't understand. Does that mean that in the times of Nechemya ben Hakalia, only these three Kalim can be moved? And if somebody needed to eat on Shabbos, he can't eat? He doesn't have food? And if somebody he can't move a dish, he can't move a glass? So Tosfos says that, of course, glasses and dishes were never included in the original Gezeirah. We're only talking about Kalim. So Tosfos has really opened up the sugya, but at the same time, Tosfos has very much closed the sugya. Why has Tosfos opened the sugya? Because Tosfos has taught us that, of course, something which is absolutely necessary for use on Shabbos is not included in the halacha of muksa. But at the very same time, Tosfos has not taught us what is and what isn't included in that category. Tosfos is just saying that anything that we need to have for Shabbos was never included. Whereas Tosfos doesn't give us, and that we now understand, is the basis of what we read in the Shulchan Aruch, the Kisvei Kodesh for Oichlim, Mutar L'Tatlan Afil Shloi L'Tzayrich. Because the Shulchan Aruch is telling us what Tosfos taught us, that since these Kalim were never included in the category of Muksa, the halacha is we can move it under all circumstances. There's a Taz. The Taz says that the minig was that in places where they had an Erev, they used to walk around with a knife in their pocket all day. So the Paiskin want to say that we see that according to the Taz, again, something which is a keli shemalachta leheter, can be moved under all circumstances. But again, the question is that indeed the halacha, and what is included and what is not included? If we look at the history of Hilchas Muksum, we go to the Rambam. Beautiful words of the Rambam in Perek Chaf Dalet of Hilchas Shabbos, where the Rambam begins in discussing Hilchas Muksum. In Halacha Yud Beis, Asur Chachamim L'Taltel Mixes Dvarim B'Shabbos K'derech Shvois V'Chol. Chazal taught us that you can't carry certain items on Shabbos the way they carry during the week. And the Rambam says, Ubnei Man Nogabis Uzeh, why did Chazal make this Isser? Amru, because they said, Umam is Hero Nevi'im V'tzivu Shloi Yeluchach B'Shabbos K'eluchach V'Chol. If Chazal said that on Shabbos we can't walk like we work on during the week, we can't talk on Shabbos like we speak during the week, Shenema Dabar Dover, the Maris that we've learned Baruch Hashem already, we can't carry on Shabbos the way we carry during the week. Chazal were concerned that the Shabbos should not look like every day of the week. We're going to come carry and repair kalim from one corner of your home to another corner, or from one home to another home, or you're going to put away stones. You're sitting at home doing nothing, and you're going to look for something to do. So the Rambam gives a beautiful explanation why you're not allowed to walk for muksa. And that is, Chazal were concerned that Shabbos shouldn't look like the week. The Ravid, however, Kasa the Ravid, Chazal, Oit Amru, Ota Tilt Lav L'Tzarechu, Hatzahu, the Ravid's quotes the Gemara that we learned, where the Gemara had a question. This is the Gemara on Taf Daf Kuf Chaf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amun Aleph. No, I'm sorry, not Taf Kuf Chaf Dalet Amun Aleph. The Gemara quotes the Machloikis of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and what is their reasoning for Davkuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. I'm sorry. The Gemara started with a question that we had Mishnayis, that some Mishnayis seem to take a strict opinion regarding Hilchas Yontif. The Gemara quoted the Mishnah that on Yontif you can't use a piece of wood to support your bekas, that you can't use a piece of wood to support your pot on Yontif. And the Gemara asked, a piece of wood is not muks on Shabbos. The Gemara said they made Xeri Yontif after Shabbos. Then the Gemara said, how could you say that Yontif and Shabbos are treated the same? Don't we have a Mishnah that says that we could throw fruit down the skylight on Yontif and not on Shabbos? And then the Gemara quoted, isn't there a Mishnah that says, Ein ben Yontif l'Shabbos el oichel nefesh bavad, that seems to treat Yontif and Shabbos the same way? So the Gemara's question was that we have a series of Mishnayis that seem to be contradictory. And then in one place, the Mishnayis seem to say that Shabbos and Yontif are the same. Another place it seems to be that Shabbos and Yontif are not the same. And the Gemara said that the Mishnayis that take the strict opinion represent the opinion of Beis Shammai, where we see that Beis Shammai was machmer on carrying a yontif, and the brises, the mishnayos that take the lenient approach, represent the opinion of Beis Hillel, who was lenient regarding carrying a yontif. So the Gemara asks, what does carrying have to do with Hilchas Muksa? Answers the Gemara, the last words of that sugya, the total guf elam shamitzahu. So we see from there, says the Ravid, that the Gemara says the reason we're connecting the halachas of carrying and the halacha of muksa is because muksa is asur because of carrying. So the Ram said, indeed, that's why the Ravid says. The Ravid quotes this Gemara. Kasav a Ravid zal, oy amru, ot tot alav tzarech atzahu. But what the Ravid isn't pointing out is the Rambam, when he explains the reasoning for Muksa, doesn't mention our Gemara. And then the Ravid continues, V'oy b'mein d'chemnyi b'chakal y'nishnas mishna zu, shom r'shloshi kelim n'talan hal shulchan, nimtze k'bnei chiyev ha'itza, osu b'tiltel, masha osu shigad lo'itza. So the Ravid is very clear in saying that the reason for Muksa is because of carrying. So now we have a number of questions. One question is, how does the Rambam ignore what the Gemara says about Itzah and give a whole beautiful explanation about the history of Muksa that doesn't find itself in our Gemara? Furthermore, we quoted earlier the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis that taught us the history of Muksa. It says that Muksa came in the times of Nechemya ben Chakalia, when there was a tremendous laxity in the observance of Hilchos Shabbos. Farshim asked that we've learned that it must be that Hilchos Muksa were already in place in the times of David and Shlomo. The Chassam Sofer asked this question. Because the Chassam Sofer asks, we know that David HaMelech was Nifter in Shabbos, and Shlomo HaMelech sent a question to Beis HaMelech. To the Beis HaMedrash. My father is unfortunately no longer alive, and a person who's not living is Muksa, and what should I do? And they responded, put a kik or a tinnik on top of him, and that's how he can be moved. So we see that the gzeira of Muksa goes back to the time of David Vishloima. Furthermore, asked the Mefarshim, Al Gemara says that in the times of Nechemya ben Chakalia, they had a very strict application of Hilchos Muksa, which they ultimately relaxed. This Gemara of Shlomo HaMelech we learned on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, which they ultimately relaxed. But the Mefarshim ask, how could they have relaxed Hilchos Ahalocha? Don't we know that Ein Bezdin Yoch Levatl, Divrei Betl Chaveroi, Elm Ken Gorman Ben Bechokhma Beminyan, that usually when Chazal make Gzeris, those Gzeris remain in place for all generations. And yet here we find that the Gzera, the very strict Gzera of Muksa that was in place in the time of Nechemya ben Chakalia, was ultimately relaxed in future generations. Where do we find such a precedent in Halakha? So there are Mefarshim that want to suggest that the Gzeira, when it was originally stated, was only stated for the generation of Nechemya ben Chakalia, but it was understood that in future generations they may relax the Gzeira. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat is that the Gzeira was only made for that generation in the first place. When is there a din of you can't undo a gzeira, is if the gzeira was made to be permanent. But if the gzeira originally was never meant to be permanent, then that rule wouldn't apply. But perhaps there's a whole different approach to this sugya of muksa. And this is very much based on the Aruch HaShulchan here in Simen Shin Ches, understanding of of the Rambam and of Hilchos Muksa. The Aruch HaShulchan first establishes a very important concept, a very important concept in Hilchos Shabbos. He quotes the Rambam in the beginning of Perek Chof Aleph of Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam says, Nema b'toyre tishbos, afilu dvarim she'enem melacha, chayv lishbos behem. Even things that aren't a melacha, Chazal said we shouldn't do on Shabbos. And then the Rambam says, Dvarim harbehein she'osru chachamim mishum shvus. The Rambam says there are many different melachas, as we who are learning Hilchos Shabbos can certainly relate, that Chazal said are not allowed to be done on Shabbos. But the Magen Mishnah explains that the Torah gave it over to Chazal to determine what is a Daraisa and what is a Drabonim. What is a Malacha and what is a Shvus? And he goes on to explain that at the time of Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu what may and may not be done in Shabbos, and what we consider a Shvus, and what we consider Osir on Shabbos only with Rabbanan, really was already told to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu differentiated and said that a Shvus is also, doesn't come with the Chiv Misa, Chiv Skila, Chiv Karas, Chiv Chatas, and Melacha does come with those Chiyuvim. But Daruch HaShulchan is telling us a tremendous word. Daruch HaShulchan is telling us that the Halacha of Shvus is a Daraisa. And somebody who's Mechal Shabbos with a Shvus, certainly according to Aruch HaShulchan, is Mechal Shabbos Daraisa. Now says the Aruch HaShulchan, that's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that when Chazal, as we just learned, the Rishonim, the Rambam, and the Ramban says this as well, when Chazal established what is Mutter and what is Osir in Shabbos, Muksa was included. And that's the Rambam that we read at the end of Perek Chof Gimel. Nothing to do with the times of Nechemya ben Chakalia. In the time of Nechemya ben Chakalia, they became particularly weak in the observance of Hilchos Shabbos, particularly in the Halacha of carrying. So they added another layer to the Hilchos Muksa. And that was because of Aitzah. Then, as we explained, they got better. They took out that Gzeira of that aspect of Muksa. But when they took out that aspect of Muksa, they didn't take away what they originally established. And what they originally established, that the Rambam speaks about, remains in place forever. It's also to carry, the Muksa is also in Shabbos. So now, we understand the Shulchan Aruch very well. The Shulchan Aruch is teaching us that everything is Muksa. Why is everything Muksa? Because the Rambam taught us in Perek Chof Gimel, we don't want Shabbos to look like every day. And because we don't want Shabbos to look like every day, the way we Chazal established it is that in Shabbos you can't carry something unless it's needed. But where did Chazal say that? Chazal said it only if it's in the category of a keli. But if something is not even a keli, that Chazal didn't include in the gzeira that the Rambam speaks about in Perek Chof Gimel. And that's why, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the only thing that can be carried on Shabbos are kisvei kodesh v'oichlim. Nothing else. Every keli is included in the gzeira of Muksa. Tosfos, however, disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos holds that Chazal didn't say that there's a... Tosfos doesn't have this whole history of Muksa. That first there was a gzeira of Muksa. And although according to the Rambam, it makes a lot of sense. That's Pshat in the Gemara, that Flamid, that Shlomo HaMelech already had Muksa in his time. Because according to the Rambam, Muksa goes back to the earliest times, the original Zera Muksa. According to Tosfos, all Kalim that are Kali Shemalach de Laheter, that primarily are used for Heter, aren't included in the Muksa. And therefore, not only, as the Shulchan Aruch says, is there not a problem of carrying Kisvei Kodesh and Oichlim, which aren't Kalim, and therefore, even the Rambam agrees, wasn't in the original Gzeir of Muksa. But Tosfos says that anything that is needed for Shabbos, plates and dishes and glasses and cups, aren't included in the Muksa. Because the Tosfos doesn't have this original Gzeira that put all Kalim into Hilchos Muksa. But it's interesting. Here we have a Machlokes Rambam and Tosfos. It's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch does pass like the Rambam, as is usually the case. But the Ramah doesn't say that, according to Tosfos, we need not be as machmer as the Rambam. And even though, as we said earlier, the Mishnah Brura seems to be a little more lenient, we said most Paiskim, and the list is a very long list, feel that we should follow, the Mishnah Brura himself says the Yesh Machmirim. But most Paiskim, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and the Shlah, and the Chaya Adam, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, all follow the opinion of the Rambam. Because the Rambam's Pshat in the Gemara works. Because otherwise, Muksa came in the time of the Chemi B'Chakalia. Muksa was here in the time of Dov V'Shleima. Muksa was here, as the Rambam says, from the beginning, because Chazal were concerned about our Shabbos, what we do on Shabbos, and how we should act on Shabbos. And actually, there's another raya to this approach. Because the Gemara here on Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel on the base speaks about the kanim, the poles that they put between the lechem upon him. And the Gemara says, kanim loy sida kanim v'loy nitiloson doiches haShabbos. You're not allowed to take out the sticks between the loaves, nor may you put the sticks between the loaves of the lechem upon him on Shabbos. And all the Mefarshim asked the question. First of all, kanim are keli shemalach de laheter. Second of all, we have a rule, ein shvus b'migdash. So even if we're going to be machmer, why are we treating these kanim so strictly when we know that there's a halacha of ein shvus b'migdash? The answer, say the Mefarshim, is very, and the Migdash David really says this, is because Muksa is a very chomer de gezeira. The Rambam taught us that Muksa goes back to the beginning from Matan Torah. It may be a shvus, but it's certainly a very serious aveira. And because it's such a serious aveira, that's why, even in the Beis HaMikdash, we were normally lenient on the Rabbanans, we can't be lenient on this Rabbanan, because this is the Rabbanan of Muksa, and Muksa is a much stricter Issur Rabbanan than all other Issurim. And therefore, if, as the Gemara explained, there was no reason to be lenient with the Muksa on Afkanan, because Bahai Purta, the Gemara says, Epusha Lemeapshi, in that small amount of time, the bread will not get moldy. We don't want to be lenient on, and we can't move it. This is very much a raya to the Rambam's approach that even a keli shemalach de laheter cannot be moved unless it's absolutely necessary.